Kei te whakarongo koe ki te reo irirangi pōho, he parakuihi tēnei, your 95 BFM breakfast. I'm very excited for this. I had a kōrero last week with Saya Gray, who is a Japanese-Canadian musician playing The Other's Way this weekend. She's here in Aotearoa playing her solo music for the first time, but she's got a really interesting story as an artist. She's been a bass player for a lot of other artists such as Daniel Caesar and Willow Smith, and then her debut sort of mixtape of tracks, 19 Masters, really took the world by storm, and then this year she released a full-length album, Saya, and it's really, really beautiful stuff. I'm a big fan, and she was a very cool person to talk to. So we're going to jump into that interview. And then while we listen to it, if you want to see Saya Gray playing the main stage at The Other's Way this year, there are still some tickets available. The tickets for the entire festival have sold out, but there are some tickets still available for the main stage only. You can head to Moshsticks, or if you want to try your luck, we have one single pass to give away to The Other's Way main stage right now, happening this Saturday, the 29th of November. The artists playing the main stage include Saya Gray, Sharon Van Eden, High Dependency Unit, Conan Moccasin, and more. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be really, really great. If you've missed out on tickets to the entire festival, don't miss out on the main stage tickets. Text in with your name, your B card number, and The Other's Way main stage. Or maybe just The Other's Way. We'll keep it nice and short for you.
Yeah, we'll make it easy on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Get those texts in, your name, your B card number, and The Other's Way, and you could be partying it up at the main stage.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be such a great time. I'll see you there watching Saya Gray. The number is 5395, in case you've somehow forgotten. Maybe start by talking a little bit about where you started, because you've got really musical parents, right? Like, your dad's a trumpet player and your mum started a music school in Toronto. Can you tell me a little bit about your upbringing and maybe about your relationship with music from a young age?
I feel like most people had to learn how to play music, you know what I mean? Or like they had to consciously decide to be a musician as a job. I was really lucky. Like, my dad was a touring trumpet player with tons of people. Like, when I was a kid, I was seeing him play with Aretha Franklin. He was playing Ella Fitzgerald, and he was lead trumpet, you know. And so he was constantly playing, you know, musicals, bars, concerts, huge places to tiny places, you know. And his group of friends and community were all actors, playwrights, you know, classical musicians, and that's the kind of caliber I was around, so I was really lucky. And then my mom was a piano teacher and had a school in the house, so basically I just had kids everywhere that were learning for Elise and or high level piano as well. And I kind of was it's all I did, you know, when I was a kid. So I was just really lucky. I just kind of had that start that other people don't really have, you know. And then I just started gigging on bass really quickly, in high school, and that was how I was making a living. I thought I would go into fashion or I wanted to be a zoologist my whole life, work with you know, apex predators and things. And then I just started making more money as a bass player, so I was all right, cool, let's do this.
Yeah, there's still time for the zoology career, though.
I was in my 40s, 50s, I'm 100% going to go back to that.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. I love your background as a bass player as well, because you've played for quite a long time with other artists as a bass player before sort of starting to release your solo stuff. And when I found that out after listening to your music, it sort of clicked and made a lot of sense, because rhythmically there's so much cool stuff going on, and there feels a lot of jazz influence in your music as well, eh?
Yeah, definitely. I think I have a bit of everything. And then my brother was super into my brother was in Berkeley in the time when I was in high school, And he was like very into like heavy like bebop jazz and like metal. So it's like I literally had like jazz, R&B from my dad, and then it was like metal and rock, and then like, and then classical from my
mom.
That's
awesome.
So it was nuts. Like it was just like such a crazy exposure.
Yeah, a real melting pot. And when you play live as well, there's a really cool band setup. And something I particularly love is this double neck bass and guitar. How did you come to find that instrument as something you wanted to incorporate as part of the set?
Honestly, I switched so much that it just became like, I was like, why don't I just play a double neck? Because in the first, like, there's like so many songs where I have to literally, like, I would be like playing bass and then I'd be playing guitar and then I'd be playing bass and then I'd be playing guitar. And I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm like, well, why don't I just play a double neck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just much easier.
And it's so cool and badass. And I'm guessing we can expect to have it in the New Zealand sets as well.
For sure. I mean, it's very like old man. Like, I feel like no one's played one of those since like, I don't even know. Like, it'd probably be like ZZ Top era. That's like when, you know what I mean? You would have seen, or like maybe Rush or something, like that's when you would have seen those around, or like Jimmy Page when he played the double neck with the 12 string. But like I haven't seen a bass guitar in so long, and I was like, do they still make them? You know what I mean? Like I had to I had to go find it. Like it was, yeah. And I've got like a couple more being made, so it's gonna be a thing. I'm just gonna keep it rolling.
Awesome.
It's hilarious.
It's a good signature instrument to have, and it looks badass.
I mean, it's hilarious. Like I literally feel like an old man.
That's awesome. Aside from the fascinating sort of sonic corners of the music, there's some really special lyrics, especially in your most recent album, Sire, which sort of delves into quite vulnerable territory, but it also feels very self-assured and confident. And it feels like, despite this like sensitivity, you've got a real badass aura about you. And I'm wondering if you've always been like that or if that's come from doing this for so many years.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like it just came from the traumas of of having to be, you know, pushed around in the industry so much, and then getting to this place where I'm just like, well, you know what I mean? It's just, you just get kind of fed up. And so I think it's really easy to become like a very hard, you know, shelled version of who you are, and like kind of be, I don't know, like shun our femininity as women and like create that kind of masculine barrier. But I've been really trying with this last record to just be like, okay, well, this is, you know, this is the roots of who I am. It's like very like, you know, it's a little bit of everything, you know? And then from here on out, you know, like at least I have a body of work that I like stripped everything back for. You know what I mean? Like, went back to that classic singer, songwriter part of myself and like just put a record out like this, because it's like I probably will never do that again. You know what I mean? Like it's such a vulnerable part of myself that I wanted to do for like the foundation as like a debut kind of album. So yeah, I don't know. It's like journeys, you know? Like I think albums are like journal entries of who you are and where you're at, and then people kind of resonate based on where they're at in their life, you know? And it's like amazing when an artist can just change and you have a fan base that changes with you, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to touch on your fans because there's a real sort of devoted community that have been with you since the beginnings. And then this year it feels like the album has really sort of blown things up a bit, and there's a lot of people who it just deeply resonated with, this project, this album in particular. Does the support feel like a long time coming, and how do you take it when something so personal to you becomes so personal to other people?
I think it's awesome, honestly. Like it's, yeah, it wasn't until like this year I realized kind of its effect on people because of touring. Because you don't really know, because I'm not online, right? And I'm definitely not like an online, because it's so funny now, it's like I think we all have been dealing with this, or like it's, we'll meet someone or something and they've got like millions of followers online, but then you don't know what it's for. And I think it's so interesting with me because it's the complete opposite. Like I have absolutely no online presence and like no online like kind of like visibility like that. And then it's like at the shows you see these like cult fans, you know? And it's like really cool because it's like I feel like it's like defying the culture that we're moving into with like you know, the internet access and like the exposure to that. So I don't know, I've been like really happy because it's like I feel old school, you know what I mean? Like I feel like it worked, and I feel like I've been pushing against everyone to keep it like that, because it's a really hard thing. It's very easy to just kind of like sell your ass online, you know, it actually is. And I've just been pushing against that and it's been working. And I think it's really cool to find fans that like appreciate that instead of kind of like want more from you and want you to be performing all the time. It's like a really weird time, you know, it's a confusing time for creatives. And so I've just been really grateful when I go on tour and I see like a room full of people who are all like-minded in the fact where like everyone's a bit old, like everyone's an old soul, even if they're like 15 to 80 years old in the fan base, you know, but it's like everyone gets it. Everyone's like conscious, like very conscious. It's a really cool group of people that come to these shows.
We're so excited to have you coming to New Zealand. You're playing in Wellington first at Nianui on the 28th of November and then at the Others Way Festival on the 29th up here in Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland. I don't know if you have heard much about the Others Way, but it's up there with one of our best festivals, I think, on an indie scale, and we're just so excited to have you.
I've been hearing amazing things about it too from like other people in the world. Everyone's like, oh my god, my favorite one, and I'm like, oh, that's so sweet.
That's so cool. Will this be your first time in New Zealand?
No, I came with Daniel in like, god, it would have been like 2019 or 18 or something. Like 6 years ago or something, and we played a festival there and it was amazing. And we all were like, we need to move here.
It is very healing. it's a nice spot. oh, cool. We're just so excited to have you here and sharing your solo music for the first time. Thank you so much for making the time for a chat.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's going to be fun.
Saya Gray is so cool. I'm really, really, really excited to see that set on the main stage at the Others Way this year. Thank you, Saya Gray, for making the time for a kōrero with me. That last track we heard was This Is Why I Don't Spring for Love, which is the opening track off of her album Saya, which came out earlier this year. I strongly encourage you all to go and have a listen if you haven't, or make sure you see her at the Others Way. And we have a winner of our ticket to the main stage, don't we?
We sure do. Congratulations, Dean. You're heading along to the main stage at the Others Way. Really good stuff. You'll never guess what?
What?
We've got two more single passes to give away tomorrow and Friday.
Brilliant.
So if you missed out today, you've got two more chances and you could be heading along to the Others Way.
There are still some tickets available for the main stage on Moshtix as well. So if you want to just get in there and buy one to secure your spot before those inevitably sell out as well, don't miss out. Don't miss out. Anywho, we're going to jump into some ads and we'll be right back. You're on BFM Breakfast.